Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos Daf Mem Aleph, and we will begin at the Mishnah Daf Mem Aleph Amar Aleph, third line. Says the Mishnah, Chayil Tzivim Tay. Somebody does chalitza to his Yevama, v'nasa achiv es achoisa. Simple situation. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven passes away. Shimon does chalitza to Reuven's widow, Rachel. And Levi marries Rachel's, and Levi marries Rachel's sister Leah. And now, Umes, and Levi passes away. So Leah is to Shimon, Achois Chalutzasai. We learned in the previous year that one may not marry his chalutz's relatives, albeit, as we learned at the end of the Shir Midrabbanan. So since this woman, Leah, is the sister of Shimon's chalutza, Rachel, who Shimon had given chalutza to, so therefore chaletz is Suleimus Yabemis. Continues the Mishnah with a difficult line that the Gemara will pick up immediately. V'kein hamagarish es ishtoi. Here we have a situation where Shimon was married to Rachel, divorced Rachel, v'nochsa ochiv es achoisa, and Levi married Leah, who's Rachel's sister, and now Mace, Levi dies without any children. The halach is hareza petura. This is already achois grushasoi. Achois grushasoi is an erva d'oraisa. One is not allowed to marry achois grushasoi. So since she's an erva, we go back to the first Mishnah in the Masechta, that when the woman that falls for Yibum or Chalitza is an erva, she's exempt. So given that this is a situation of a chois grushasoi, she's ptura. And the Gemara is going to pick up on the line, v'chein. The previous thing was chaletz v'chalim v'siyabemis. So not the same. We'll talk about that in a moment. Another halacha. Shemeris yavam shekidish ochiv es achoisai. Situation was Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven passes away without any children, and he leaves a wife, Rachel. Rachel has now Zika to Shimon and Levi, Reuven's remaining brothers. Levi, before anything is done with Rachel, goes and does Erisin with Leah, Rachel's sister. Shemeris Yavam, so Levi has a Zika of Yibum to Rachel. Shekidish Ochiv es Achoisa. The Levi now goes and does Erisin with Leah, Rachel's sister. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, V'shem Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira Amru, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira teaches us, Oymrim loy hanten achiyasa achicha maisa. We tell Levi, don't consummate your marriage. Don't make nesuin with Leah, because she's achoisu kukasai. You have a Zika with Rachel, Reuven's widow. So wait until Shimon does either Yibam or Chalitza, and after Shimon does Yibam or Chalitza, that Zika will be dissolved, and once that Zika is dissolved, now you can do Nisuin with Leah. Cholutz Layachif. So once Shimon does Yibam with Rachel, Oikonsa, or Shimon does Yibam with her, the Zika is dissolved, and then Yichnes is Ishtai. Levi could complete the marriage with Leah. Mesa, Hayavama, or another situation could have happened, is that Rachel died, so that dissolves the Zika, because she's no longer here. Again, is the Halacha, Yichnes is Ishtai. At that point, Levi could complete his marriage with Levi, with Leah, her sister. However, we have a different situation. Again, as we said, there were three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven was married to Rachel, and Reuven died. And then after Rachel fell to Levi, for Yibum or Chalitza, also to Shimon, that's when Levi went and did Kedushin to Leah. And then, and we say, as we learned a moment ago, Hamtein, wait until Shimon could do Zika, Yibum or Chalitza, and Shimon passes. Meis Yovim, Shimon passes away. So now Levi is in a very precarious situation. He can't do Yibum with this woman because Tachai Sishtai. He already did Erisin with Leah. He can't, on the other hand, complete his marriage to Leah, because Tachai Sukukasai, and she has no other brother to go to. So what he's going to be left doing here is, Yoitzis Ishtabaget, he'll have to divorce Leah, and on the other hand, Veishis Achiv, since she was Achais Ishtoi, he'll have to give a chalitza, not Yibam. So this is a situation where he can't complete his marriage to his wife, nor can he take his sister in Yibam. In fact, I saw a very interesting shaila from the Rishonim. Many times when the Mishnah mentions such a situation, it says, Oiloi mi Ishtoi, Oiloi mi Yibmai, that he's stuck. How come our Mishnah doesn't use such a language, the Rishonim asked? The Mishnah just says, his wife he has to divorce, and is his Yevama he has to give chalitza to. Why didn't we use the words oiloi? So I saw that the Mefarshim answer beautiful teretz. When do we say oiloi? The Mishnah uses the terminology of oiloi when a person was put into a situation that he didn't control. Here, Levi did the wrong thing. Why are you going and giving kedushin to Leah, your Yevama's sister, your Zakuka's sister? If you did that, and now you ended up in trouble, it's only trouble that you caused for yourself, and the words oiloi are inappropriate. There's a machlokes Rishonim how to understand what happened here. In other words, the Rishonim are all clear. If Levi had gone and done kedushin to Leah before Rachel fell to Zika, there's nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. He doesn't have to expect his brother to die, and his wife will fall to Yibam, and he could consummate their marriage. There's a shaila in the Rishonim. What happens if he didn't just do kedushin? He actually did nesuin. Some Rishonim say that our Mishnah is only referring to a case where he did kedushin. But if he did nesuin, he can remain married to her. Others say there's no difference between kedushin and nesuin. Yet others say that even though the nesuin is effective, the Meiri says this, he should not do any further bias. He should not have further relationship with his wife until the yevam is taken care of with chalitza or even with the other brother. There's also a very nice verse from the Rashba. The Rashba adds to the lashon of our Mishnah, to the terminology of our Mishnah, what is the Rashba teaching us with those words? Beautiful pshat. As we describe the situation, Reuven was the oldest brother. The next brother, Shimon, the next brother is Levi. Levi is the one that did kedushin with Reuven's widow, Rachel's sister Leah. And we say that he can't complete that kedushin because he has Zika. But one can argue, when is there a Zika? When he's the oldest brother. But here we have Shimon being the older brother. So one could possibly think that Levi said, I didn't do anything wrong. I have an older brother. We learned mitzvah begodl liyabim. And therefore he should be allowed to complete the marriage. That's why the Rashba has a girsa, hamten achiyasa achicha godl. Even though there's an older brother, that doesn't change the fact that there is a Zika between you and Reuven's widow, and therefore hamten until she's taken care of. So as we learned when we learned the Mishnah, the Mishnah's first case was when he did chalitza, so we have a situation of achos chalutzasoi. The next case was achos krushasoi. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, achos chalutzasoi and achos krushasoi are very different. So why my v'chein? What's the Mishnah's word that's the same? Ema, says the Gemara, you actually have to change the terminology of the Mishnah. Ava hamagarish. If it's an achos chalutzasoi, which as we learned at the bottom of Tav Nema Mebeis, is only Issad Rabbanon, so therefore chalitza is required. By Chos Krushasoi, where there's an Issa Deraisa, a Chos Krushasoi is an Issa Deraisa, and therefore, he doesn't have to give her, certainly not Yibam, not even Chalitza. Amar Shlokish, Kanchon Rebbe, and this is what Rebbe taught us, a Chos Krusha, that you're not allowed to do Yibam Chalitza, is Issa Medivri Torah, it's Issa Deraisa, a Chos Chalitza is only Medivri Torah, only Medivri Rabbanon. Oh, Shmer Shom Shekidish, and the next case that we learned at length, and the Mishnah is if the brother did kedushin after the sister fell for Yibam, so we say hamtein. Om Shmuel, that is the halacha. We actually paskin kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So now the Gemara paints a very interesting shaila. Ibeiluhu meisa ishtoi ma'a b'yivimtai. What happened is like this. Again, to review the story, which is really the case of our Mishnah. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven died without any children. His wife, Rachel, fell to Shimon and Levi for Zika. And Levi before anything being done with Reuven, is Mekadesh Leah, Rachel's sister. Our Mishnah kept on speaking about what happens if Rachel dies. Mishnah, Gemara discusses a different situation. What happens if Leah dies? He didn't finish the Kedushin, he waited, and before he could do anything, before anything happens with Rachel, Leah dies. And now the question is, can Levi marry Rachel? What's the question? When Reuven died, Levi was allowed to marry Rachel. She was Hutra. Then when he became Mukudish to Leah, it was a Chais Ishtai. Now that Leah dies, do we say Hutra, Vinesra? Do we say Chaz of Hutra, she reverts back to her originally Mutadiga status? Do we say that once she becomes prohibited, she remains permanently prohibited as a Chais Ishtai? Ibailu, Mesa Ishtai, Ma'abi Vimtai, will he now be allowed to be Meyabim Rochel? Rav Rav Chanina Damer Tavaya, Mesa Ishtai, if Leah dies, Mutabi Vimtai, he will be allowed to be Meyabim Rochel. Shmuv Rav Asi Damer Tavaya, Mesa Ishtai, Osabi Vimtai. He's not allowed to. Why? Because once she became Osir, she remains permanently prohibited. Taishas asks, if Rav is telling us a Chiddush, that not only Mesa Yevimta Mutta B'Ishtai, but he's telling us Mesa Ishtai Mutta B'Yevimta, why doesn't our Mishnah tell us that then? It's a bigger Chiddush. Answer Taishas, the Mishnah should have mentioned it. The reason the Mishnah doesn't mention it, because the Mishnah is trying to remain consistent, Mesa Yevimtai, Mesa Yavam, so we're talking about the Yavam or the Yavamta dying, but actually, according to Rav, the Mishnah should have taught us a bigger Chiddush. So we have a Machlaikas Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav, my time of the Rav. What is the basis of Rav's lenient position? So as we explained, Mishum Davi Yavama Shehutra, this Yavama first was permitted. When Reuven died, Levi would have been allowed to do Yibam. Nesra, after Levi did Kedushim with Leah, her sister, she became prohibited. And now when Leah dies, Chuzra Vehutra, she reverts back to her original position, Tachsel Hutra Arishin, Elatei Arishin, she goes back to her original position. Masra Hamnuna asked Rav Hamnuna on Rav's opinion. We learned in a Braisa, Gimel Achim, we have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Beis Nesuin, Beis Achoyes. Reuven and Shimon are married to Rochel and Leah. Vechem Bofn and Levi is not married. Meis Echod, Mibala Achoyes. Now Reuven died. And Rochel falls to Levi for Yibam. She doesn't fall to Shimon, because Shimon is Achoyes Ishtai. Vosma Mamer, and Levi even went as far as doing Maimer in Rochel. But as we know, according to Beis Hillel certainly, Maimer Midaraisa really has no standing. Vachkach Meis Ochev Asheni. And now Shimon dies. So what do we have here? A situation that Levi has two sisters that are zakuk to him. Reuven's wife, Shimon's wife, who are sisters, Rochel and Leah. So the halach is, Oysi Yavama, Chaletzis V'loim Yamas Ebemis. This, Vachach Meis Ochev Asheni, now Shimon dies, so he has a situation that he can't do Yibam with any one of them, because Achoysu Kukosai. But now, Vachach Meis Ishtai. Now, Shimon's wife dies. So, Oysi Yavama, Rachel, the first Yavama that fell to Reuven, Halacha is Chaletzis V'loim Yamas. So again, let's get the case right. Reuven and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah. Reuven died first. Rachel falls to Levi. Before Levi could really do anything of halachic significance, Shimon dies. So at that point, he can't do anything with either wife, because Achois Chalutasai, Achois Kukasai, two sisters who have Zika. Then, Leah, Shimon's wife, dies. So what's the situation? Rachel was first permitted. She was a regular zakuka. Then she became prohibited, achoy sukukasai. And then she became permitted again. What does the braisa say? The braisa says, chaylatzis v'loimus yabemis. But that's difficult according to Rav. Because Rav just taught us, hotyo, that if a woman was first permitted, v'nesra, and then she became prohibited, v'chazir v'hotra, and then she becomes permitted again, tachsala teirishin, she goes back to her original heter. So why over here is Rachel not permitted again? That's the Gemara's question. V'mai, why is that the halacha? That chaletzis v'loy misyabemis, shouldn't this be a situation to have a kiyavamish ahotra, v'nesra, v'chazer ahotra taxalatei rishin? Ishtik. So this was a question the Rav cannot respond to. Lebos de nafak, after Rav Amnuna left, Omar, amayloy amartlei, so they told Rav, why don't you respond, Rav Elazahi? That Mishnah, that Braisa, represents the Sheet of Rebbe Elazar. What's the Sheet of Rebbe Elazar? The Omar. Kivin she'amdalav sha'achas b'isra, nesalav olamis. What's Rebbe Elazar? Rebbe Elazar is a different than altogether. Very simple situation Rebbe Elazar represents. We have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to Rachel. As long as Reuven is married to Rachel, potentially, Shimon may one day marry Rachel. What does that mean? If Reuven will die without children, Rachel will have to get Yibam and Chalitz from Shimon. What happens if Reuven divorces Rachel? So when did Reuven divorces Rachel? So it's no longer Eishes, it's no longer his brother's wife. So it's his brother, it's Eishes Ach that they're no longer married. There is no Yibam setting. She becomes Asa to him. He can never marry her. She's an Eishes Ach. But as we've learned so many times, somebody could take back his wife. So what would be if Reuven takes back his wife? So the way we've always explained, which is the way the Rabbanan learn, the defining moment for Yibam Mechalitza is the moment of death. So if Reuven died, Nebuch without children, and Rachel was his wife, what happened in the past is irrelevant. That's the sheet of the Rabbanan. Rebbe Elazar disagrees. Rebbe Elazar holds that if a woman becomes usher at any point, even if at the defining moment of death, she was a Yavama, makes no difference. So says the Gemara to Rav, that Mishnah maybe goes according to Rebbe Elazar. That's why even though the Yavama was at one point Mutter, Rachel was at one point Mutter, she became Osir when Shimon died and she was in a Chaisa Kukasai, and that remains permanent. So you should have just suggested that Mishnah Bryce is going according to Rebbe Elazar, but it's not what the Rabbanan hold, and I, Rav, follow the position of the Rabbanan. Hadar Amr, then he said, Eimad Amr Rebbe Elazar, Heichad Delay Chazil HaBishas Nefila. In the case that we just described, the coin to Rebbe Elazar, as we keep on repeating, we look at the defining moment, which is death. When Reuven died, so Rachel cannot fall to Shimon for Yibam Chalitza, because at one point she was Osir, before the death, when they were divorced. In this situation, when does Rachel become Osir? After the death. Because at the moment of death, she was Mutter. It was only later she became Osir. So you can't use Rebbe Elazar as the source. Rebbe Elazar is talking about a different situation altogether. Rebbe Elazar is talking about a situation where the woman became Osir before death, and that Issa remains forever. Rav is talking about a situation where at death, she was Mutter. Only later did she become Mutter. Osir. How can we compare the two cases? That's what Gemara says. Eim Adam Rebbe Elazar, when did Rebbe Elazar say his opinion? Heichad Olechazi B'Shas Nefila. When Reuven died, she couldn't fall to Yibam Mechalitza to Shimon because she was already disqualified at one point. Aval Heichad Olechazi B'Shas Nefila. In our case, where Rachel, when Reuven died, wasn't eligible for Yibam Mechalitza. Mi Amar, did Rebbe Elazar say that she becomes disqualified later, she remains permanently disqualified? Adamer, Hadram, and then he said, in. Yes, Rebbe Elazar says it makes no difference at what point she becomes disqualified. Once she becomes disqualified, she always becomes disqualified forever. For Tanya, Rebbe Elazar Omer, Meisi Yevimtai, Mutta Be'ishtai. If his Yevimtai, going back to our Mishnah, our case, our Mishnah, where the person did Kedushin with his Yevama's sister, says Rebbe Elazar, if his Yevama dies, so now he can consummate the marriage. There's no problem with Chaisu Kukasai. Meisa Ishtai, what happens if his wife dies? So Rebbe Elazar says, Ois Yevama, Cheletzis V'Loimus Yebemis. Why? Because obviously, since she became disqualified when he was Mekadish's wife, this is the case that we learned in the Mishnah. Since she became disqualified when he married his wife, even though now his wife died, and that disqualification is no longer there, it remains forever. So we see that even though at the moment of death, she was Mutter, as she becomes disqualified later, she remains permanently disqualified. So now Rav is very understandable. Rav is going to say that the Mishnah that represents a position that if any point she becomes disqualified, she remains disqualified forever, represents the Sheet of Rabbi Elazar, I hold like the Rabbanim. But now the Gemara is left with a problem. Shmuel, who argues on Rav, obviously is saying his position according to Rabbi Elazar. Is Shmuel going to hold like Rabbi Elazar against the Rabbanim? Lame is Shmuel, Rav Asi, Damri, Rabbi Elazar. Says the Gemara, Afilo Temek Rabbanim. Rav Shmuel will tell us the Rabbanim agree with him. At Kamai Kamifka Lay Rabbanim Rabbi Elazar, how do we explain Rabbi Elazar holds? El Mishum, the Nefil of Eilach Lemitzalai. In the case Rabbi Elazar represented, where they were divorced and then they got remarried. So at the moment of death, she was his wife. And nothing happened from the moment of death and on to disqualify her. That's why the Rabbanim hold, she remains permanently a candidate for Yibam HaChalitza. In our case, what happened? Yes, at the moment of death, she was qualified. Then she became disqualified. Says Shmuel that Rabbanan hold that once a woman becomes disqualified, even though she was qualified at the moment of death, doesn't change the facts that if she becomes disqualified later, she remains permanently disqualified. And the Rabbanan could agree with that, and that's why Shmuel says that his position is consistent with Rabbanan. At Kama Mifgi Rabbanan later, Belezer, El Shun the Nefil of Eilich, Lemitzolayu. From after death and on, she always is a candidate for Yibam Mechalitza. Aval Hocha de Itzer, here, where she, yes, was a candidate at the moment of the death, but later became disqualified because he married a sister, even though his sister dies later, I feel Rabban Amayda, that once she becomes disqualified, she remains permanently disqualified. And Rabbi Chanan tries to explain the machlokes of Rav and Shmuel in a very interesting way. Rabbi Chanan says as follows. Rabbi Chanan says, what do we look at? According to Rav, we look at the moment of death. That's the only thing that we look at. And if at the moment of death she was qualified, even though later she becomes disqualified, she can become qualified again. Shmuel says we look at it not just at the moment of death, we look on any point. If she becomes disqualified, she remains permanently disqualified. Says Rabbi Chanan, what's the machlokes? According to Shmuel, once a woman gets a status of an erva, she remains forever disqualified. And that's why this woman, even if at the moment of death she wasn't an erva, she was a chois ishtay later, she becomes disqualified. Rav, on the other hand, says Rabbi Chanan holds, that the moment of what is the lomdus? And we spoke about this a lot at the beginning of the Masechta. What is the lomdus of Yibam? Esedoy chaloysa say. What is the moment we have to say esedoy chaloysa say? At the moment of death. Once that lomdus is used, it remains in place forever. So even if there's a disqualification, it doesn't remain permanent, and once that issue is removed, the original heter of esedoy chaloysa say comes back. There's also a very interesting shaila from the Stipler. It's really based on Machlokes HaRishonim. Rav is telling us that if a woman was qualified, then disqualified, and then becomes qualified again, you could give her Yibam. So there's a Machlokes HaRishonim. When we say we could give a Yibam, does that mean that there's a mitzvah Yibam? Or does that mean if he wants, he can marry her? Some Rishonim say there's a mitzvah Yibam. Others say you can't say that. That it's not darkei noyim. First she requires Yibam, then she doesn't require Yibam, then she does require Yibam. So the Rashba says he can marry her. There's no problem of Eishes Ach, but there's no mitzvah of Yibam. Says the Stipler, according to the Rashba, Gevaldik. What's going to be, we have two brothers in our Mishnah, Shimon and Levi. Let's think through this case. And Levi went and was Mekadosh Rachel, his Yevamah's sister. So while he was Mekudish to her, as Amishna says, he can't take Rachel. Then Leah died, so Rav says he could go marry Rachel. But the Rashba is saying it's not the mitzvah Sibim. He's allowed to marry her, but he has no mitzvah. But he has a brother, Shimon. Shimon has a Zika. So says the Stipler that according to the Rashba, Shimon has a Chi of Zika. Levi has just the right to marry her. If you have those two brothers, the one that has a Chi of Zika goes first, and he gets to marry her, and not Levi. Says the Mishnah, a woman should not receive chalitz or yibam until 3 months pass from when her husband dies. The king calls shara noshim, and all women should not have erison and nesuin until 3 months pass after their husband passes away. Echad besulas makes a difference if the woman is still a virgin. Echad beulas, echad grushas makes a difference if the marriage was dissolved because of a divorce. Echad almanas, or was the death. Echad nesuas, if the marriage was a nesuin. Vechad arusin, or the marriage was an erusin. Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says, what's the reason, as we will spend a lot of time discussing, that a person's not supposed to marry for 3 months? Because we don't know, let's say she's pregnant, and we don't know, we have to know whose child is it, the first husband or the second husband. So says Rabbi Yehuda, ha-nesuas, if there was nesuin, so there's a real concern that she may be pregnant. So that's why we don't let her get married for another 3 months. What does it mean that we don't let her get married? That she doesn't allow to have nesuin, but she is a lot of erisin. After erisin, you're not allowed to have relations anyway. So even if a woman was nesuas, yes, arsu, they're allowed to have erisin within 3 months. They're just not allowed to have nesuin within 3 months. Furthermore, v'harusos, women who were only murasos, so they never had relations with the husband, so there's no concern if she's pregnant and whose child it is, they, inasu, they're even allowed to have nesuin within the 3 months. Chutz min arusa sheb Yehuda neshali begaspa. As the Rishonim explained, there was an interesting custom in Yehuda, in that region. When a couple was only murasos, only erisin, they used to be mesiachet. They used to be secluded. Why? So Rishonim explained they wanted that the chasan and kala should become familiar with each other, so that when they actually get married, they should feel comfortable to have relations. But when you put a boy and a girl into such a situation, there's a strong possibility that even though they're murasos, they're going to have relations. So even though there's erisin, there's a strong possibility that they had relations and that the woman is pregnant. So even though she's murasos, we have to wait the 3 months. I saw from Ramosha, he asks an obvious question, the Dibris Moshe. He says, how do we put a boy and a girl in such a situation? Just because they want them to be comfortable on the wedding night, we put them into a position that they're going to do something that they're not supposed to do. So Ramosha says an interesting pshat in the Dibris Moshe. Ramosha says that when this chosin, if he does have relations with his kala, even though the only murasos, when he has the relationship, he has a mind to make her into a nesua, and therefore there's no problem. Rabbi Yossi, in principle, does not disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, but he says, "Kol anoshim yisarsu, all women are allowed to have erisin, because erisin will not allow them to have relations, so we're not concerned about not knowing who the father is. Chutz min almana, for a different reason altogether, nei ibel." Rabbi Yossi says that a woman who was married is not supposed to get married that quickly to another man. She's supposed to be an avelus. And that's what Rabbi Yossi refers to. There needs to be a break between the first husband and the second husband for avelus, and we'll discuss more how much time. Says the Gemara, we need to understand. Bishlam Elaitis Yabim, we can understand why a woman whose husband died is not allowed to have Yibim for 3 months, because she may be pregnant, and if she's pregnant and she'll have a child, there is no heter v'nesha sach. Shema, she's pregnant. Yei vlad ben kayama. V'kapoga v'issa eshes ach. Deraisa. So we can understand why we have to wait these 3 months to see, is she pregnant? And is she not pregnant? So I saw that the Mefarshim asked a great gevaldige kasha. What's our Mishnah saying? That an arusa, who there's no question is now the Tanakama, there's no question is not pregnant, still, because of an Asua, we even say that an Arusa is not supposed to get married for 3 months. And as we're going to learn in tomorrow's Shir Mitzvah Hashem, that's the halacha. So why don't we say that just like we made a gzeira of an Arusa because of an Asua, we should make an gzeira of Chalitza or Tayibim. Ella, the Gemara's question is, Loi Tachlitz Amai, why not? So I saw two truths. One teretz is like this. The same woman could be an Arusa and an Asua. Actually, every time it works that way, it goes in two stages. First she's an Arusa, and then she's an Asua. So that's why we make a gzeira by an Asua because of an Arusa. But the same woman cannot be a Yavama and a Chalutza. She's either gets Yibum or she gets Chalitza. So we don't make a gzeira, a Chalutza, or a Yavama. One teretz. Another teretz, also very beautiful teretz, is Erisin and Asuan are the same goal. What's the goal of Erisin? What's the goal of Nesuin? To make this couple come together. But Yibim and Chalitza are just the opposite goals. Yibim is to separate them. on the contrary, is to marry them, and chalitz is to separate them. So we don't make a gzeira one out to the other. So ask the Gemara, why can't chalitza be performed immediately? Why do you have to wait the 3 months? Leimet have to yuftad Rabbi Yochanan. Should we say that our Mishnah is a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan's position that we learned in Daf Lamed Hey? Domer chalitza smuber shmo chalitza. And our Mishnah is teaching us that since there's a concern, and we can't know for sure until 3 months, that she's pregnant, that's why the chalitza can't take place, but the chalitza of a pregnant woman is unacceptable. Leima tavit yufta Rabbi Yochanan chalitza smuber shmo chalitza. Says the Gemara, v'lav mi esfinel Rabbi Yochanan chad zimna. We already refuted Rabbi Yochanan's position in Daf Lamed Hey. Says Malema, what the Gemara is suggesting is Mahan Nami Avtiyufta, like Rashi explains. Just because we ask one kasha, that doesn't stop us to ask another question. Why doesn't it stop us to ask another question? Because let's say you'll have an answer to the first question, you'll still have the second question. So the Gemara is suggesting, you know, why perhaps our Mishnah says chalitza should not be performed in the first 3 months after the husband dies. Because chalitzas muberes loishma chalitza, the chalitza of a pregnant woman is not an acceptable chalitza, and therefore we have to wait to see if or is she or is she not pregnant. Says Merloi, that's not the shot in our Mishnah. Hacha en atama. The reason of our Mishnah is a whole different reason. Shem yei vlad ben kayoma. We know that halacha is like this: an almana may marry a kohen hedget, a chalutza, we learned in the Gemara many times, may not marry. So what's going to happen here, says the Gemara, is the following concern. We're going to make chalitza on this woman. Because we don't think she's pregnant. Now, it turns out she's pregnant. So the chalitza was meaningless. It was worthless. It was meaningless. But we want to allow her to marry a kohen. Shem yehei vlad ben kayama. We're going to have to make an announcement that the chalitza was meaningless. So it says, v'nitzricha. So we'll make the announcement. Answers the Gemara. There's a concern. There may be somebody who was present when the chalitza took place, and he looks at that woman as a chalitza. And will not be there when they make the announcement that chalitza was not required, it was meaningless. Umafsulua mekahuna, and will think that she's not allowed to marry a kohen when she indeed may marry a kohen. So Mefarshim ask, why are we only worried about a kohen? Why don't we worry, as we learned in the previous year, at the beginning of today's year, that if she's a chalutza, he's not allowed to marry her relatives, as we learned in the previous, and not the Mishnah, that we learned yesterday. If, on the other hand, if the chalitza was meaningless, so she's not the chalitza, and he's allowed to marry her relatives, why is our Gemara not concerned for that? So Mefarshim say a simple teretz. For one person to go and want to marry the relatives of his chalitza is highly unlikely. So we don't have to worry about that. But there are a lot of kahanim. So it's very likely that this chalitza, this woman, may want to marry a kohen. That's why we're more concerned about kahanim than we are about relatives. Says the Gemara, Tainach Almana. So yes, if this woman was only an Almana, as we said, Almana is allowed to marry a kohen, and if the chalitza was meaningless, that's why I'm not going to make a chalitza, because people will not know that the chalitza was meaningless, and they may not allow her to marry a kohen when indeed she may marry a kohen, because they won't hear an announcement. But let's say this woman, let's think through a woman. You have a woman with a history. First, she was divorced from her husband. Now she got married to a husband, and that husband dies without children. So this woman may not marry kohen anyway. She already is a grusha from before. So why can't this woman have chalitza immediately after her husband dies? What are you worried? That she's pregnant, and people will think that she's not allowed to marry, and she's really allowed to marry kohen, and people think she's not allowed to marry kohen, she's not allowed to marry kohen anyway, because she's a divorcee from before. Taina chamana, grusha, but if the woman is already a grusha from before, ma'ik lameima, answers the Gemara, mishum demasala mezainus. And the Gemara is going to discuss this later. The halacha is that under normal circumstances, the Gemara Masechta Ksuvos tells us that if a woman husband dies, as long as she doesn't get remarried, she could say she's not remarried because she's honoring her dead husband's memory, and she still has to get supported from her husband's estate. A Yevama only has that right for 3 months. So as Tosfos explains, our Mishnah is not telling us that she's not allowed to receive chalitza. She is allowed to receive chalitza. But our Mishnah is giving us practical advice. Married, she's not allowed to get married for 3 months. Why is she not allowed to get married for 3 months, as we learned? Because we have to make sure she is or she isn't pregnant. Once she gets chalitza, her husband's estate stops supporting her. So why should she take chalitza and lose the support, and she can't get married anyway? That's what the Gemara says. Mishnah Maslam Zaynus says the Gemara, when does a woman get supported from a husband's estate? It was the Nesuin. So I could understand why the Gemara is giving us advice. Don't take the chalitza. It's only going to financially harm you. Tenech Nesua, ben Arusa Gerusha. If you have a woman who's a Gerusha, so she can't marry a Kohen anyway, and she's a Arusa, and a Arusa does not get supported from her husband's estate after he dies, Ma'ikel Meimer, why should she wait for the chalitza? Says the Gemara, the reason is a different reason altogether. Why should she not get chalitza? El Shem Rabbi Yossi, for the reasoning that Rabbi Yossi gives. The Tanya, Ma'isa Ba'adam Echot, Shebol Lefnei Rabbi Yossi. There's a story where a person came to Rabbi Yossi. Can chalitza be given within the 3 months of the husband's death? She may not receive chalitza. So the person asks Rabbi Yossi, tachlois for tachlois, v'mabakach. Why not? As we're learning now, the chalitza does nothing wrong. There's no problem of not knowing who the father is. Karav la mikra zeh. So Rabbi Yossi responded with the following pasuk. Im la yachpoitz ham chafetz b'yavein. That the Torah gives the yavam a choice. Either to do yibam or to do chalitza. Kola oyle la yibam, oyle la chalitza. So as the Rishonim explain, and this woman is not a candidate for yibam. Why is she not a candidate for yibam? Because it's within 3 months of the husband's death, and we have to ascertain that she's not pregnant. And Rabbi Yossi is teaching us that wherever a person is not a candidate for yibam, she's also not a candidate for chalitza. So that's why we wait for the chalitza. But as the Rishonim say, this is not a din midaraisa. If she did receive the chalitza would be a valid chalitza. He's just saying, midrabanan, Chazal tell us that if she will ultimately become mutter to have yibam, we should wait to do the chalitza to that time. And that's why the Rishonim answer a simple question. When you learn this Gemara, we've just learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, in the Masechta, situations of chaletzis v'loimus yabemis. If Rabbi Yossi says that yibam and chalitza travel together, so how can we ever have a din of chaletzis v'loimus yabemis? The answer is very simple. When do we say chaletzis v'loimus yabemis? If the woman will never be a candidate for yibam, this woman in our Mishnah is going to ultimately be a candidate for yibam. If she's going to be a candidate for yibam, we wait for the chalitza to take place at the same time that yibam could take place, and then the yavam makes a decision, does he want to do yibam or chalitza? So ask Darach HaShulchan. So if so, what would be the halacha if a woman is a candidate, a yavama, and she's a nida? So while she's a nida, she's not a candidate for yibam. Can't have a relationship with a nida. So we should check with every woman that we want to give chalitza to, is she a nida? So the two truths I'm given. One teretz is, nida is a very temporary status. That's why we're not concerned. Another teretz that the Aruch HaShulchan gives, very nice teretz, is as follows. He says that when the Gemara says that chalitza and yibam should travel together, is with a disqualification, is a disqualification in Hilchas Yibam. This woman, within the first 3 months of her husband's death, there's a yibum disqualification. Nida has nothing to do with hilchas yibum. It has to do with hilchas nida. That's not considered a disqualification that we should say that if she can't have yibum, she can't have chalitza. But the Beis Shmuel, and I think I might have mentioned this Beis Shmuel previously, does use this Gemara for another din. Let's say there are a number of brothers surviving. One brother is married to a wife already, and another brother is not married to a wife. The brother who's married, l'chatchila, should not take his sister-in-law in Yibam. Chayim d'Rabbeinu Gershom. Says the Beis Shmuel, based on this Gemara, that the brother who's not married, who has the option to either do Yibam or Chalitza, should be the brother does chalitza, not the brother who's married, who l'chatchila doesn't have an option of marrying her because of the cherem d'Rabbeinu Gershom. Of course, the Beis Shmuel does say that, let's say there is only one brother surviving, or there's more than one brother surviving, and they're all married, that doesn't mean that that woman shouldn't receive chalitza. Of course, she receives chalitza. He's only referring to a situation where there are married brothers and unmarried brothers. Based on this Gemara, the Beis Shmuel says that the unmarried brothers should be the brother doing chalitza. Masr Rav Chinana asks Rav Chinana, it says in a braisa, hasfekus. If a woman is a suffik, chaltsus v'loimus yabemus. My sfekus. What does a suffik mean? Ilema, if I'll say suffik kedushin, that there's a woman, as Rashi explains, that there's a, we know, the halacha is, that dalar amis around a person are considered his rishus. So there's a man and a woman standing within the same 8 amis. And the man throws a kedushin to the woman. The question is, did that woman receive the kedushin or not? So the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, Chaltsus v'loimus yabemus. So the question is, Ilema Safek Kedushin, it's this woman that we don't know, was she Mekudush to his brother, or was she not Mekudush to his brother? So the question is, Amaylet Mesiyabemus, Tesiyabem Veim Bekaklum, Memanashach. If she was married to his brother, so now she's a real Yavama. If she wasn't married, so she's a single woman that his brother is allowed to marry. Elalaf, what is the case of Sfekus? Safek Shekidish Achas Mishtayachayus. A person gave kedushin to one of two sisters. Ve'eni yodei ezman kedush. He doesn't know which one received the kedushin. What's the halacha? Chiletzis. So what's the question? This, neither of these two women could be misyabim. Why could she be misyabim? Because there's always a question of achos zukukasai. So if we're saying that you can never do chalitza if you can't do yibam, why should you be allowed to do chalitza? As Rishonim explained, let's wait until this question is clarified. Says the Gemara, you can't compare the two cases. Hachi hashta. Hasam im yavi aliyah. V'yoyim da ha-kiddish. Bas chalitza v'yibam hi. You have these two women. Hitaka doesn't know which of the two sisters is his wife. But if Aliyah Anavi will come and tell us that this is the right wife, so she's automatically a candidate for Yibam Chalitza. Hacha, what would be the halacha here? Let's say you have a very interesting din. This is the way the Moritz Chais explains the Gemara. Let's say you have a woman whose husband died, and Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come and tell you she's not pregnant. Will you allow to be do Chalitza? Will you be allowed to do Yibam within 3 months? Hacham Yav Eliyahu, V'yoyim da Haloyibra. He'll tell us, I'm telling you she's not pregnant. Mi Majgich Dev Yabirim Lei? Will we allow to do Yibam? Hakana de lafa basaburihi. Every girl who's a ktana, the halacha is, vafil tzachit tzrich lahamtichim l'chadoshim. Why? Because what Eliyahu HaNavi can do, says the Moritz Chayis, is tell us a metzias. He can tell us which is the woman that was mekadosh. Eliyahu HaNavi can't change the din. If the din is that a woman, within the first 3 months of her husband's death, the Mishnah taught us, is not allowed to get Yibam, so even though the reason is because we're concerned maybe she is or she isn't pregnant, that doesn't change the din. And therefore, you can't compare the two cases. The woman who we don't know who he's married to, chaletzis v'loimus yabemus, because that is a suffix that can be clarified, and once it's clarified, she's a candidate for Yibam. This, there is no clarification that can help us on. So the Satmar Rebbe asks the Gevaldik Kasha, if Eliyahu Novi coming and telling me that she's not pregnant won't do change the din, so why would Eliyahu Novi come to tell me? Eliyahu Novi is going to come to tell me something what makes a difference. It won't make a difference. So why is he coming? Says the Satmar Rebbe, you know why he's coming? To show you that even though Eliyahu Novi is telling you that she's pregnant, that doesn't change the din. To show us the power of a din is even stronger than what Eliyahu Novi says. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Yivama Shalosh Chadashim Marishayim. The Yivama, the first 3 months, we discussed this earlier. Nezoinis Mishabal. She gets supported from her husband's estate. Bekan ve'elich, after 3 months, loy nezoinis, ena nezoinis, loy mishal baal, v'loy mishal yovim. Why not from baal? Because as we said, a woman who doesn't normally get remarried could say, you know why I'm not getting remarried? Because I'm doing it in deference and honor to my first husband. This woman is not doing it in honor of her first husband. She has a chiv of yibam. And that's why this woman is different than all other women. And she doesn't get supported after 3 months from her husband's estate. Amid Bedin, Let's say the Yavam went to Din, and they say he's going to do Yibam, Ubarach, and then he runs away without doing the Yibam. The Loch is Nezoinus Mishel Yavam. Now the Gemara discusses the following situation. Naflof Ne Yavam Katan. The surviving brother is a Katan, who, as we learned and will learn, is not able to do Yibam. So this woman, so to speak, is nowhere. She can't get married because she has to have Yibam. But she can't have Yibam because they're cotton. So the question is, does she get supported from the husband's estate or not? Naflufne Yavim. Mi Yavim Leslay. So the Yavim certainly doesn't have to support her. Why should he? Mi Baal, Mai. Does she get supported from the husband's estate or not? Pligabar of Acharavina. Charama Isla. One says she does get supported from the original estate, because it's the original estate that put her into this, it's the original husband dying without any children to put her into this situation. For Charama Lesla, it's her bad luck that not only did her husband die without any children, but the Yavam that she's left to is a cotton. For Hilchasa, and the halacha is, Lesla, she is not entitled to Mezoinus, even from the first husband's estate. Mishmaim Kansu, it's her bad luck that not only did her husband die without children, but her Yavam is a cotton that she has to wait for.